This morning's reading can be found on page 971 in the Church Bibles, and it is Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. That's page 971, Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If you're lucky enough to have a garden of any kind at home, do you feed the birds? Good. I'm glad you do. I have a bird feeder. This is one of several that we have just outside our back door on the patio. And I get tremendous pleasure regularly by watching the birds come and feed here. Birds of all shapes and sizes. We also get lots of squirrels. And every morning a fox comes and says good morning to me about 6 o'clock, and I say good morning to him, and we enjoy each other's company. Birds need food, so what you need to do is to bird seed. Very clever. I have a tin of bird seed, which is more or less watertight and airtight, so it keeps the seed dry and the damp off it. And I ladle the seed from here into my feeder. And, of course, what I do quite simply to do that is get a spoon that I pinched from the kitchen while Jean wasn't looking and use that to ladle the seed into the bird feeder. The trouble is, it's not very easy to do it accurately. And what I found was that when I ladled the seed into the top of the thing, it spilled over the edges, and seed went all over the patio where it shouldn't go. Did that happen to you? I can see one or two people nodding. And then inevitably what happened, we got rats. And my wife was extremely cross with me because she doesn't like rats on our patio. I'm sure they're there, but we don't want to see them. So how do you get seed accurately into a bird feeder like that? The answer is very simple. You use a funnel. Yeah, it's so easy, isn't it? And then you can put the seed in and direct it carefully and control the flow and get the seed where you want it into the bird feeder and not anywhere else. I think we'll put that down there, shall we? Have you thought that human life is like a funnel? But a funnel works two ways. You have a choice. Either you can have the broad, wide bit first, or you can have the narrow, tight, disciplined bit first. And I think one of the things that this chapter in Matthew, part of the Sermon on the Mount, is telling us, which choice do you make? The easy thing to do, of course, is to start with the wide bit, because then anything goes. You can do what you like. It's wonderful. You can just make as much money as you want. You can spend it how you like. You can enjoy wine, women, and song in the terms of the old song. It may not be your scene nowadays. Depends how old you are. But nevertheless, there's a complete freedom to do whatever. And it sounds and looks very attractive. But if you try that, you will find that the further down the funnel you get, the more restricted it actually becomes. Because doing what you want, doing anything you like, earning as much as you like, spending it how you like, the excitement palls. And in later life, it doesn't work. And I can give you example after example. We all can. One of the multi-billionaires in our world who made a huge amount of money out of oil said recently, I've got so much money, I don't know what to do with it, but it hasn't brought me any happiness. If you go the other way around and you start with the narrow end and you're disciplined in your choices, it sounds very restrictive, boring. And yet the extraordinary truth is that the further down that funnel you go, the more choices there are, the broader the outlook, the more God blesses those who choose that way. Jesus, of course, didn't talk about funnels. He talked about gates. And in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to look at that, and I won't steal the thunder of whoever will be speaking in 2 weeks. But broad is the gate that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate that leads to life. Whatever stage in our lives we've reached, we keep on having to make those choices. What are the things that really matter to us? What are the things that actually we want to concentrate on? When we're alone, that prayer, that confession prayer that we did, if you notice how it deliberately talked about just the individual and God. When I'm alone with God, what do I choose? When I was 18, I had a very conscientious youth club leader, and when I left school to go up to college, he gave me a little book called Money Talks. It was intended, I think, to make me responsible in the way I spent my money. It was written by a chap called Tom Rees, who in those days was probably the best-known Christian evangelist in the country. And I was supposed to read this, and Money Talks, usually it says goodbye. But I read this with some care as an 18-year-old. And a lot of it is splendid, and it's still worth reading. But a lot of it made me very cross. Perhaps I was somebody that got cross too easily. Because the book is very legalistic. It's very dictatorial. Tom Rees is saying, you must do this, you must not do that. Strict orders about how I was to spend my money, how I was to spend my time, what I was to choose. And you know, if you read Jesus' teaching here in Matthew and elsewhere in the Gospels, he's not like that. He tries to persuade by love, by giving choices that depend on a really good relationship between himself and you and I as individuals. Yes, he says there are things we shouldn't do. Of course he does. But basically he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Choose the way you want to live, the things you want to do. Be relaxed about it. Don't worry. Now, I'm a worrier by nature, I admit it. And I confess that there's many a night when I've lain awake worrying about, you know, clients that were being difficult or whatever else it was. And the way, ultimately, I was able to get through that, of course, was to stop thinking about the problem and look at the person of Jesus, who was my shepherd, my saviour, my friend. And that's what he's encouraging us to do. Remember, this passage starts, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What does that mean? What are our treasures in heaven? Where is this heaven? You see, Jesus is not saying, do not give any thought to what's happening in this life. Spend your time getting ready for the next life. That's not what treasures in heaven are all about. Heaven is where God is right now. Jesus also said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Heaven is not actually a geographical location in that sense. Heaven is the relationship between God and me as an individual and getting that right. And that starts now. It'll get better. It'll be wonderful later on, because at the moment, you know, it's 4 out of 10, because I'm not very good at doing the things I ought to do always. But the kingdom of heaven starts now. And the treasures that Jesus is inviting us to share, to be part of, start now. And it is wonderful when you find Christians who have that peace, that joy, that can only come from a relationship with him. How does it happen? Well, the simple, the best definition that I know is this idea that you practice the presence of God. That Jesus, God, becomes so real, so integral a part of every particle of our lives that we practice the presence of God in all that we do. David and I were talking about the choruses that we used to sing in Crusaders 120 years ago when we were both members of the same Crusader class. The chorus that I still remember learning as a child, which means such a lot, says very simply, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And it's something that we need to go on learning all the days of our life. And then we find the funnel that starts so narrow and restricted opens up into a wonderful vision of a God who is supreme, all-loving, and all-caring. Let's spend a minute or two praying to that God whom we seek to worship.